Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
Well, we're back in the same situation we were last week, Gary. I've got nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I can hear you just
anyway,
fine.
Here we go. Now I'm on.
Just stay away from the buttons, babe.
Well, I know. That's exactly the lesson I need to learn.
That's what Gary
last,
does.
Last week they had my mic disconnected. I thought, uh-oh, Rosie didn't get the memo. Show canceled. Good morning, y'all, and welcome to my house. It's Rosie on the house this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. And I know you're wondering, like you're always wondering, well, where's Rosie going to take us this 7 o'clock hour?
You have that look in your eye, yeah.
Well, I'm going to take you on a magnificent journey to the origin of the universe.
Well, that's a journey.
Fasten your seatbelt. Shake your bedhead off. This is your weekend wake-up call. This is your Saturday morning tradition. We're celebrating our 30th year being on air. And I've had this topic I've wanted to talk about. I've never been able to find the expert to drag in the studio to visit about it. And we found one. And the topic is electricity. Now, I want you to stop and think about electricity. This is not a man-made product. It's a naturally occurring physical phenomena. It's an energy. Who creates that energy? It exists in the universe.
1.21 gigawatts.
That's
how
what
am I going to generate that kind of power?
That's what I'm saying. 121 gigawatts. Who or what creates the source of energy that electricity manifests? Is lightning the universal key indicator that this energy even exists? Let's do a quick history of mankind's harnessing of this energy. When do you think humans first became aware of electricity? Romy, I'm going to throw that out to you. Let's go with the biblical thesis that men have been on Earth as we know men today for roughly 6,000 or 7,000 years. In that 6,000 or 7,000 years, when did men first become aware of electricity?
Is it recorded who the first person that was struck by lightning?
You know what? I didn't go there. I didn't research that.
Because it had to have been before Ben Franklin. He proved it with the key. There obviously had to be talk about it for him to think, well, I've got to go prove this.
He had to know something was going on,
yeah.
Right? How about 600 BC? The man's name was Thales. He lived in the city of Miletus. Now, Miletus, prior to the Persian invasion in the mid-6th century, was considered the wealthiest and grandest city in all of Greece. And Thales was one of the seven sages of Greece. So we have one of the pre-Socrates sages in the wealthiest Greek city discovering static electricity. Now, that's a man with some time on his hands right there. And he does it by rubbing amber against his robe. What's amber? You know what amber is?
And was this to clean the robe? Is this?
I don't know. But amber is a stone, right? It's actually fossilized tree resin. So he's rubbing fossilized tree resin against his cloak and discovers static electricity in 600 BC. It's 20.
Because he didn't have carpet to scoot around in his socks and point his fingers out.
That's right, exactly. It's 2,200 years later. Stick with me, people. Now, I told you I was going to hit you with something hard this morning. 2,200 years later, an English scientist, William Gilbert, coins the term electricus, which in Greek means like amber. In 1646 is the first time the word electricity shows up in print. 1752, Benjamin Franklin launches his kite. 1821, Faraday invents the electric motor. 1861, James Maxwell links electricity to magnetism. And 1870, we have the birth of the second industrial revolution, which driven by the harnessing of the naturally occurring phenomena we call electricity. And man has now figured out how to manufacture it, artificially manufacture it, and distribute it. 1870s. And now I'd like to introduce our electrical expert, Jacob Tetlow, who is the Vice President of Transmission and Distribution of All Electricity for APS.
Good morning.
Hey, that didn't hurt, did it?
No, it's not a problem at all over
that,
here.
That doesn't scare you at all, does it? Oh, you got to get up to about 500,000 volts before you're even intimidated, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's about where we start.
So I'm in my timeline up to about 1870.
Okay. Well, let me start with thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Okay,
and APS will pick it up right about, Arizona Public Service picked it up at about 1886. That's okay. When we started doing what we do. We started off as the Phoenix Illuminating Company, and we were turning on the lights in downtown Phoenix in 1886.
Powered by what?
Well, back in those days, you had different combinations of steam turbines.
Okay.
You would have had small boilers that would have spun devices. Actually, in the really old days, you were using a piston and a flywheel to spin a small generator.
Okay.
And you would have used steam with a series of shuttle valves to push that piston back and forth.
In 1921, Albert Einstein is awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for discovering the photoelectric effect, which is the same technology that drives our entire solar panel industry today. 1921. Einstein. I would really have liked to have visited with him one-on-one.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool.
You know, just to introduce him to Cajun humor, you know. So we have a rapid evolution of solid-state devices, semiconductors, transistors, microprocessors, RAM, flash RAM. And the question remains in Rosie's head. What is electricity? Jacob, the floor is yours.
So it's just a couple electrons bouncing, you know, between atoms. It's really nothing more complicated than that. So, you know, I always tell people the easiest way to think electricity when you want to manufacture it, when you want to make those electrons move between those atoms, is think of a conductor, a piece of wire, and then pass a magnetic field across it, and that will induce those electrons to start flowing. And there you go. You got electricity. It's that simple.
Oh, see, now you've got me on a bunny trail already. Magnetism. What's magnetism?
Well, magnetism is a magnetic field. I know you can't answer it with the same definition.
Gosh.
It's a field that has poles, a north and a south pole to it, right? So magnetic fields that occur naturally in some cases. You know, the Earth has a magnetic field, a north and a south pole. And so, you know, that lines, we call them lines of flux. If you pass them across the conductor, you make those electrons flow.
And you can't have magnetism without gravity. What's gravity?
Well, gravity is the natural force of attraction between any two objects in the state of physics.
But who originates that energy source?
Well, you're getting pretty deep for me here.
I should have warned you.
Yeah.
So without gravity, you can't have magnetism. Without magnetism, you can't have electricity. With electricity, it is an energy that we've harnessed. And like Ben Franklin, he's suspicious of something. I don't know what he's out there flying the kite in a storm for, but he's got a key up there, and something arcs between the key and his hand. Is that what happened?
Well, I think he's out there looking at lightning, thinking that must be electricity. I'm trying to figure out how to get a piece of that electricity. How do I harness it? Right, that was the beginning of learning how to harness it.
And I bring this up because we had, 100,000 people in Maricopa County without power this week?
Between Arizona Public Service and Salt River Project, we were in that ballpark, yes.
That's incredible. I wonder when the last time we had that kind of an outage.
For us, it would have been back in 2015 was the last time we saw a storm that looked like Monday night storm.
That was a monster, wasn't it?
It was. That was a significant storm that came through the Phoenix area.
Well, you know, you've had a lot of people praying for rain.
Well, they got it.
They got the answer, right? Boy, it was delivered with a punch, wasn't it? I heard a report yesterday that this week's monsoon would rate as one of the very top more destructive monsoons we've had in all of Phoenix in recorded history.
I believe that. I've been doing this job for about 6 years at Arizona Public Service, and between the one storm in 2015 and the storm on Monday night, they were by far the two worst storms I've seen in 6 years.
Was 2015 the year the interstate was flooded and all those cars got stuck?
It is. We had some real heavy rains that year.
Okay.
Lots of poles knocked down.
I remember that. And talk about poles knocked down. Y'all are down, what, 200 poles in the storm?
We lost about 230 poles in total between Sunday night and Monday night storm. So.
And these are single-leg poles?
Yeah, these would be 45-foot, 55-foot, what we would call distribution poles at 12,000 volts, or maybe some sub-transmission at 69,000 volts. We didn't lose any of our big high-voltage stuff.
Now, I heard those big, ginormous towers out in the West Valley someplace went over.
Yeah, Salt River Project had a couple of their larger high-voltage towers.
What do you call those towers?
We call them lattice towers, generally, because they're kind of made out of a bunch of steel bars all bolted together. It looks like a lattice.
Sure.
170 feet tall. They're big. They're tall.
What are they engineered to withstand?
Generally, they're engineered well over 100 miles an hour for a lattice tower. You just don't see those things get damaged very often. We have not had a lattice tower with our territory damaged in over 10 years.
And four of them go down.
Yeah, they had four of them damaged.
And then y'all lose 230. All wooden?
No, actually, we lost some steel poles, too, which is not usual. Our steel poles hold up a little better than our wood poles. But we lost a fair number of steel poles as well.
All right. We're here talking electricity. What is it? How do you make it? How do you distribute it? Why is it important? I'm going to tell you why it's important to you, the Arizona homeowner. Take my dinner last night. Salmon, scallops, shrimp, rice. It took boating, flying, trucking, all the fresh food to get here to the middle of the Sonoran Desert. You know, it was eaten in a well-lit kitchen in a room that was kept at 72 degrees while it's in the high 90s outside. Jennifer has her Pandora playing, a Boss Skaggs collection. Now, 300 years ago, Jennifer and I would have been sitting by a fire. She started by rubbing sticks together, eating a jackrabbit I would have just pulled out of the hole in the ground with prickly pear fruit and some mesquite beans with or without mold that could kill me. That's the difference electricity makes. More when we get back.
Rosie here from Rosie on the House. And, you know, y'all regular listeners have heard the show grow from a one-hour show to a two-hour show, a three-hour show. And a couple years ago, we expanded it to a four-hour show. And when the folks over at the radio station offered me that fourth hour, I made one condition. I said, okay, I'll take a fourth hour, but I want it to be on any topic I want. It's not going to be on home improvement. So we picked it out as a traveler of Arizona and a lover of Arizona, somebody that's been here since the mid-60s. I said, we're going to have it the Arizona Hour. People, places, and things of the great state of Arizona. And Mr. Kimberly, I can't thank you enough for Sanderson Ford coming on as a recent sponsor of that show. We're going to have a blast with this.
Rosie, there's no one that I'd rather ride with than you. Believe me, we are proud to be a sponsor. We're proud of our relationship, and, you know, this is a great state, and no one represents the state better than you, whether it's Crawdad Festivals or whatever it may be. I mean, you do it, and so we're very proud to be part of it, and, you know, you've come a long way from one little station to and now to 4 hours and seven stations, and, my gosh, this is just incredible. Thank you for letting us be part of your show.
Well, we certainly are humbled and love the partnership for sure. Y'all were the original sponsors of the Rosie on the House Arizona Staycation, and that's just gone over so well. The letters we get from people that show up on your lot to pick up that vehicle from the demo lot that they're going to be able to drive for a couple days, and sweet Jennifer gives them a gas card, and Arizona Highway gives them gift books, and then we send them down the road to some location. That staycation has been a blast, and this new sponsorship of the 7 o'clock hour is going to take it to a whole new level.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're very proud to be part of it and to share this great state of Arizona.
And thank you as well.